this text, will a man rob God? And after a pause, he looked round the congregation and he said, you've all robbed him. You and you and you and you and you. And perhaps we should add, and me. And I quote Simeon because I don't know that I would have the courage to say it myself, but this is true. We've all robbed God. And I want us to think in two parts this morning as we look at these words. First of all, how do we rob God? And then secondly, the more positive side of it, how do we not rob God? How do we reverse the process? How do we rob God? We rob God by giving to Him. That may seem rather an extraordinary thing to say, but if you start thinking in your mind about giving to God, what are the presuppositions behind that sort of remark? Well, isn't the presupposition this, that it's in our power to give to God, that we have things that are ours which we can give to Him? And yet that presupposition is absolutely wrong. We can't give to God in that sense, for the simple reason that before we can give anything to God, it's all His all the time anyway. We can only give to God what is His own. Let's have a look at one of the great statements of this truth in Psalm 50. Psalm 50 and verse 7. A wonderfully vivid statement from the mouth of God. Very dramatically expressed. God speaks to His people. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will accept no bull from your house, nor he-goat from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the air, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all that is in it is mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Yes, God doesn't need our charity. Of course not. Everything is His. Right from the beginning. Well, if you go back to Malachi. Now, you see, if that's the presupposition, that when we give to God, we've got things that are ours to give to Him anyway, what are the consequences of that state of mind, that sort of attitude? Well, we see the consequences very clearly in this little book of the prophet Malachi. If we have the feeling that, oh yes, I can give to God, then in our giving, we're likely to be patronizing. And we'll find that our attitude in giving to God is that we just give to Him what we can spare. If it's ours, we're only going to give to God what we can spare, just what's left over when we've satisfied our needs. But of course, you see, if it's His, from the beginning, then everything is His, not only what we give to Him, but what we keep for ourselves. And our attitude to the whole thing is going to be quite different. It's going to be much more responsible. Now, see how this applied to the people to whom Malachi was speaking. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 13. This was their attitude in their giving to God and their service. What a weariness this is, you say, and you sniff at me, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what's been taken by violence, or is lame, or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. Well, now, let's draw this first point together. We rob God by giving to him. We rob God when we start having the patronizing attitude that says, oh yes, what I've got is mine anyway, and if I feel generous, I can give to God some of what's left over, something of what I don't need, something of what's spare. But that's robbing God, because everything is his before we begin. Everything is his all the time anyway. And that's the attitude that we've got to have, that all that we are, all that we have, belongs to him. And if we give him something, as we say, it's only a token that the whole belongs to him. So we rob God by giving to him in that patronizing sense that it's ours to give. Secondly, we rob God by thinking that he would rob us. We rob God by thinking that he would rob us. You see, what's the thing that makes us tight-fisted in our giving? Well, isn't it this sense that we say, well, I can't afford it. If I go giving this much to God, put that much into the collection, if I take out a covenant for so much to St. Helens, how am I going to manage with the rest? And we're imputing to God the sort of idea that God is mean and grasping, and that in our relations between him and us, it's a business that he's trying to get as much as he can, and we're trying to hang on to as much as we can. But of course, it's not like God. It's not like that with God. And that sort of attitude is an affront on God. It's robbing him of his glory. If you still have chapter 1 open, if you look back a little earlier from what we read, verses 11 and 12, the end of verse 11, you'll see he says that my name is great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts, but you profane it. We profane God's name by attributing to God meanness, suggesting that God's just trying to grab what is ours and be a spoil sport and leave us with not enough and make things difficult for us. And how wrong that is. Back to chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 10 of chapter 3 is a great verse to learn by heart. Here's what God says. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. If only we could get that picture of God, that he's longing to give to us. And the only thing that prevents him from giving to us is when we have this tight-fisted attitude, when we want to keep him at arm's distance. Oh, don't let God get a hand in, or he'll start grabbing all the nice things. But God doesn't want to grab all the nice things. He wants to give all the good things. I will pour down for you an overflowing blessing. And so when we give and stop robbing God, we open our hearts to his generosity. We don't stand to be losers, we stand to be the gainers. So we rob God by giving to him. We rob God by thinking that he would rob us. He'd never do that. Thirdly, we rob God by robbing other people. We rob God by robbing other people. You see, there are people in the world concerning whom it's God's purpose that he should provide for them through you, through me, through us. Well, who are these people? Well, I think we can see three classes at least. First of all, there are the helpless. And these are summed up particularly in the description, the widow and the orphan. If you look in verse 5, I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, the adulterers, and so on. And then towards the end of the verse, against those who oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. The harling, the widow, the orphan, the stranger. These are the people concerning whom it's God's will that they should be provided for by Him through us. God is the God who is on the side of the disadvantaged, the poor, the helpless, and we're to care for them in our giving. Secondly, perhaps this is brought out at the end of verse 8, when he says, how are we robbing you? He says, in tithes and offerings. And the tithes in the Old Testament, a tithe means literally a tenth of everything that you possess, the tithes, one of the things for which they were set apart was for providing aid for the widow, the orphan, the stranger, and so on. Second class of people we're to help is the ministry of the church. The ministry of the church. They were robbing him, Malachi says in verse 8, not only in tithes, but also in offerings. And the offerings were special free will offerings, gifts that were given for the maintenance of the service of the temple. In the time of Nehemiah, we won't look at it, but it's Nehemiah 13, verse 10 and following. In the time of Nehemiah, many of the Levites had to give up working in the temple and go and become farmers in the fields. And the reason was that God's people hadn't been giving the offerings to support the ministry that went on in the temple, and so it was collapsing. And this is a great Bible principle, that the ministry of the church should be provided for by the offerings of God's people. Or if you like to sum it up in a little epigram, the money for the Lord's work is in the pockets of the Lord's people. And if it stays in the pockets of the Lord's people and isn't given for the Lord's work, then the Lord's work collapses. So there's the widow and orphan, there's the ministry of the church, and then finally, there's the work of taking the gospel to the heathen. Verse 12. Then all nations will call you blessed. Then all nations will call you blessed. God says to the people of Israel that if only they're true and faithful to Him, it will lead to blessing for all nations. And here's a great Bible principle, that God's gifts, not only His gifts of possessions, but particularly also His gifts of His revelation and His truth and His gospel, isn't a gift to us just for our selfish enjoyment, but it's a gift given to us for the world. God desires to bless and to reach the world through us. And therefore we're to give. So there are those classes of people. We rob God by robbing other people. There are classes whom God would provide for through us. The helpless, the ministry of the church, the work of taking the gospel to the heathen. And if we don't give, then those things collapse. Well, there are some of the ways in which we rob God. Well, now let's turn to the other side and try and get the more positive picture. How do we not rob God? How do we reverse this awful trend? I think there's one key word to sum it up, and it's the word total. Total. First of all, by total giving. By total giving. In verse 10, which we've looked at already, he says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down on you an overflowing blessing. But surely you see, when he says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, he's giving us a clearer picture of the principle that must lie behind tithing. And again, to repeat, to tithe is simply an expression meaning to give a tenth of what is yours to God's work. If we tithe, if we give a proportion to God's work, we're not to do it in any sense that we think, ah, good, yes, I've done that, that's finished, that's the end of my responsibility. No, that's quite wrong. When he says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, surely this implies that in doing so, we are to have the attitude that we have a stewardship for the whole, a total giving. Everything, what we keep as well as what we give, is the Lord's. And the way we use what we keep is as important as the way we give what we give. We have a stewardship of the whole. And if we give a proportion, that is simply, as it were, a token that demonstrates that by giving it, we dedicate the whole to God. Isn't this a principle we find, for instance, in the commandment about the Sabbath? All our time belongs to God, but we set aside one day in seven to be particularly His, in order thereby to consecrate to Him the whole. And the strength about setting aside a proportion to God is that it takes off from us this sort of sense of, oh dear, what am I going to give? Before we reach that point, we say deliberately in our minds about a proportion, this is God's, and it's going to be set aside for Him and His work. And in that attitude, and with that attitude, we consecrate to Him all that is ours. The tithe isn't the end of our giving. No, it's the beginning. It's the principle that consecrates the whole to Him. So, total giving. Secondly, total trusting. Total trusting. Surely this has come out. God's not going to rob us. If only we can unlock our tight-fisted hearts, He will pour out upon us, He says, an overflowing blessing. And so you've got in this passage the sort of contrast that we often get in the Bible, a contrast between, on the one hand, a vicious circle, and on the other hand, I don't know what you're going to call it, a virtuous spiral, perhaps. But with a vicious circle, you get worse and worse and worse, and you get this perhaps in verses 7 to 9. From the days of your fathers, you've turned aside from my statutes and not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. Here are these people, the tragic thing about them is that they're so pleased with themselves. What have we left out of what we ought to have done, they say. We've given to God what we're supposed to give. No, not that sort of sense of satisfaction, but a total trusting. The amount that we receive by God is only limited by ourselves. You know that verse from Psalm 81, verse 10? Open your mouth wide and I will fill it, says God. And so often we keep our mouths tight closed so that He can't spoon in the good things that He would like to give us. You remember the story of Elisha and the widow woman who had no money. And the only thing she had was a little oil. So he said, well, bring all the jars in your house to me and we'll do something. So she brought all the jars and he took the jar of oil and he began to fill them up. And as long as there were jars, the oil kept on pouring out. And he filled up all the jars and he said, come on, let's have some more. And she said, oh no, there aren't any more. That's what God's giving is like. He will go on giving as well as long as we are an open receptacle to receive. But if we draw short, say, oh no, God wouldn't give us that, then that's where the end comes. So let's have with our total giving a total trusting that will break down this tight-fistedness. And then finally, total living. Total living. Everything that we are is our giving to God, not just what we give in literal terms. What we give to God is not just what we give, but by what we are. Surely this comes out in verse 12 that we looked at a moment ago. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight. One of the titles that God gives to his people in Isaiah 62:4 is the title Beulah, which means the Lord delights in you. When we've reached this total trusting and total giving, then we shall exemplify to the world a total living which shows that we are indeed those in whom the Lord delights. There will be a beauty about us, a poise, an attractiveness, and this will be the thing that makes its impact. Then all nations will call you blessed. So how do we rob God? We rob God by giving to him in that patronizing sense that assumes it's ours to give. We rob God by thinking that he would rob us. We rob God by robbing other people. And we reverse the process by a total giving, not just of what we give, but of what we keep as well. By a total trusting that doesn't have fear and alarm, but knows that the Lord is able to provide more than we can desire or think. And by a total living which ensues when we have given all and trusted all, because then the Lord's beauty is upon us. Amen.